Our scripture evolved a little bit this week. As Linda looked at the passage of scripture in 1 John, choosing 7 through 12, and then later, so wait, no, 16 through 18 would be a good addition. That's not in your bulletin. Unfortunately, it came a little late. We will read 1 John 4 through 12, and then 16 through 18. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. God is love, and those who abide in God, in love, abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear.
Thank you, Tony, and your flexibility with adding scripture. So it's an honor to be here to share this message with you today. It's called Building Bridges Across Divides. I occasionally watch a children's show called Stillwater on Apple TV on my iPhone. Stillwater is a giant panda who lives next door to a family with three kids. In each episode, one of the kids will come over to see him when they're upset about something, and he will listen, respond with seemingly infinite empathy, and then ask, "Would you like to hear a story?" And they always say yes, or maybe okay. And he shares a parable that invokes in the child some perfectly relevant insight that helps them see their situation in a positive light. He shows them something that they never thought about. It shifts their perspective and empowers them. I always feel good at the end of each Stillwater episode. It's like spending time with the universal Jesus Christ embodied in a giant panda. We're in the midst of some troubled times, aren't we? This morning, we mark 30 days before the presidential election. Tomorrow, we will mark the one-year anniversary of the brutal attack by Hamas on Israel and the beginning of the brutal and continuing response of Israel on Gaza, and now on Hezbollah. Turmoil across the globe continues. There's so much fear and division in our everyday world right now, all in the backdrop of the existential crisis of climate change. It's a lot to process, to cope with. So much so that it might make us want to pull back into a place where we feel the most secure, the most protected, and the most safe. It can be a challenge to not feel afraid these days. Would you like to hear a story? This is actually a true story, not a parable, but I think it serves the intended purpose, which is to empower us with love and hope when we find ourselves filled with fear. 30 years ago, I moved to Ithaca and settled into a home in the most amazing neighborhood. My neighbors love and take care of each other, and it's a community where folks feel safe. It's a place where I always felt safe until one day, suddenly I didn't. The house next door to me is a 3-bedroom rental, and every 2 to 5 years, neighbors move out and new neighbors move in. Several years ago, a middle-aged couple moved in, and at first it was just this one couple. But pretty soon their daughter and her 3 young kids moved in, and a little bit later, their son and his 2 kids moved in. There was a lot going on next door. One afternoon, I was sitting on my front porch reading, and suddenly, hysterical, blood-curdling screams were coming from next door. It sounded like a woman was being killed. Before I could think, I found myself banging on their front door, yelling, "Stop! Stop! Open the door! Stop!" The door did open, and by the scene inside, it was apparent that the son and his middle-aged mom had been in an elevated altercation. I made some assumptions. I said some things, primarily to the son, including an emotional threat to call the police. The mother assured me that everything was okay, she was okay, and it would never happen again. I mentioned resources they could connect with, and she said they would. Shaking, I went back home. It was a presidential election year, and I had a sign on my front window showing my support for one of the presidential candidates. A couple of days after this altercation, I came home from work to find my sign torn into pieces in my driveway. I was stunned. My neighbors from across the street saw me staring at the torn pieces in my hands and came out to tell me that they had seen the son next door do it, and that he had appeared to be very angry. A gut-wrenching fear gripped me, and I reacted. I immediately had an alarm system installed in my home. I made sure my locks were secure, and I set up a box of things I could throw or swing at an intruder that I kept right next to my bed. Although I was very defended, I did not sleep well. I was gripped by fear. Then a few weeks later, in the wee hours of the morning, I awoke to a flashing red light outside in the street. From my bedroom window, I saw that my next-door neighbor's yard was illuminated by a floodlight from an ambulance parked in front of their house. I crept downstairs and watched from the shadows of my front porch as the mother was brought out on a gurney, sitting up but rocking back and forth. I felt sick, assuming that the son had tried to kill her, and if I had just called the police before, this would not have happened. I went back in and I prayed to God for guidance. Tell me what to do. What am I supposed to do? I received a clear and immediate answer that wasn't what I expected. Take them chicken. It was very specific, chicken. So the next day, I fixed one of my favorite chicken dishes, chicken thighs simmered in Campbell's cream of mushroom soup, and I took it, along with a large dish of green beans, over to the family next door, hoping that the son was not there. The son, who was home alone, answered the door, fighting the urge to flee. I said simply, "I brought chicken." He looked at me, and then he looked at the food, and then he looked back at me, and then he started to cry. And then he asked me to come in. We sat in the kitchen as he explained through tears that his mom suffered from mental illness, and he tried to, and she had tried to take her life the night before. They weren't sure she was going to make it. He had been so angry with me for assuming that he was abusing his mother when he was struggling to help her. He apologized for ripping up my sign. I apologized for making assumptions. We hugged. And then we became neighbors who, through God's guidance and the power of comfort food, became friends who sat down for conversations, checked in on each other, and loved one another. His mom pulled through. When he applied for a college program, I wrote him a letter of recommendation very proudly, very enthusiastically. I wrote him a letter. God knew what this young man needed. I sure didn't, but God sure did, and filled my heart with an unexpected answer to my prayer for guidance. Take them chicken. And the outcome was miraculous. Of course, not all divides can be bridged by chicken and green beans. We have an election coming up. We have a deeply divided nation, with both sides feeling like if the other side wins, it will be quite awful. And according to reports, at least some folks apparently feel that if the other side wins, there will be reason for them to take violent action. The divide seems so overwhelming sometimes, but nothing, nothing is too big for God. Everything in this world is a conduit for God's love, God's living waters, to flow through and out into the world. Friends, we have some work to do. There are folks out there who fear us, and we might fear those folks. We make assumptions about each other that can be so far from the truth. So, what can we do? We could take the path of least resistance and hide away in our safest places to wait for the storm to hopefully pass. But what about the power of finding common ground? If we focus on what comes into our orbit as we walk through this world and know that God's love and joy and hope are there within everything and everyone, sometimes deeply hidden beneath protective layers, but there, we can build bridges across any divides. So here's an idea for all of us to consider. Seek God's guidance and watch. Watch for opportunities to step outside of your comfort zone to engage with somebody who doesn't share your perspective. Meet them where they are, see them, and listen to them, because none of us sees the full picture until we listen to different perspectives. The goal is not to change someone's ideas and declare yourself right, but rather to create a comfortable and safe place to deepen our understanding of each other and to fulfill God's commandment to love one another. When we ask for God's guidance, we will receive an answer. It's not always what we expect. But when we trust in God's will rather than our own, all will be well. Thank you. And I'm happy to share the chicken recipe if anyone's interested. Thank you.